This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
Welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we're going to be talking about things all the way related to economy, mm-hmm. as well as somebody got a face transplant.
Yeah.
And it's successful. And we'll talk about what that success means. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty amazing.
It is incredible.
Mm-hmm. And included in that is also an update on the chimpanzee attack that we had several shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, along with that, we have a little surprise.
What?
I'm ready.
Jody's going to develop a stumper question on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And who's he going to try to stump? Which chump is he going to stump? You're looking at him.
Mm-hmm. If you could see us.
Right.
Yeah.
You're looking at him.
We're all looking at each other.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid it, though.
Yeah. Speaking of avoiding,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I dare do this.
Okay. Venture out.
Promise not to laugh? Or to pick on me? Or bring it up at inconvenient times?
No, it'll come up over sequence.
Mm.
No, you gotta say it, though.
I don't know if I should.
I won't.
You piqued our interest. You have to say it now. It's the rule.
My wife said, I smell. How do I say it?
Like an elderly gentleman.
Don't say that, though, because not all elderly men stink.
You smell like my dog. With your nose. You know, with your nose.
I smelled like a...
With your nose.
She said I stunk.
Oh, really?
And it's not like acute stinking.
So she did this lovingly because she knew that she didn't want you to go out in the public stinking around other people.
It wasn't about the public. It was just being beside her.
Oh.
And... Wow. You got to know, I don't like smelling badly.
No.
Well, the problem is it got worse from there.
It did.
You know, I kind of overreacted.
It's being 40, isn't it?
Yes.
It's 40
yes.
years old.
And it could be the fact that I've been having a lot of garlic lately. It could be that I had a very intense day yesterday. Would you agree?
Uh-huh.
So you're suggesting a bodily reaction to
I had
stress.
Body odor. I had body odor, like fear.
Hmm.
Like dog fear.
Wow.
Like wet dog fear. Yeah,
yes, it can happen.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So
no,
what did I do?
Tomato bath?
No, close. I ran into the bathroom.
Yeah.
As we're trying to watch a funny video.
Yeah.
But she can't because I stink so bad.
Wow.
It's distracting.
It's like Pepe Le Pew.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
You know?
Ooh. Yeah.
And so here's this green fog.
Love keeps you in the room. But zero focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I did what any red-blooded American would do.
Uh-huh.
I tried to cover up.
Well, of course.
So I ran in the bathroom, grabbed my cologne, sprayed it all over, came out, complicated matters.
Oh. So is it similar to the rule in the office with our one restroom?
Spray before you leave?
Not just spray before you leave.
Leave the fan on?
Leave the fan on.
Well, in her words, God bless her, she's so smart, too. She said, why did you have to overreact?
Ooh, overreaction to stink.
Because she's right. I could have probably done other things, like take off the sweaty t-shirt.
Sleep in another room.
Well, we're trying to avoid having to go to that extreme. But, okay, so I sprayed.
Leave.
I sprayed this cologne, probably way too much.
Okay.
I walk back in. Can you put the picture together?
I can see.
Now it's stinky,
the Pepe Le Pew
strong
with
perfume.
The cloud behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go out and I try to wipe that off. It didn't work.
Oh no.
So I come back in.
You straight
it's
iodine
just as
or
bad.
What?
Okay. I head for the shower.
Oh boy.
A full shower.
See, now that should take care of it.
And it did. Well, the problem is I showered and it took care of it. But I had already gotten it in the room.
Oh.
You know, it was too strong in the room already.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and whatever it got on that I was sitting on.
And windows were open.
Well, not yet. So there we go. So I quickly, I open the windows, I turn on the fan. We have an attic fan. So I turn that on. Evacuate the aroma.
Wait a minute. What it takes an attic fan to clear out the cologne smell?
It was bad, Jody.
I'm telling you,
it was bad.
It's now waking the kids up. They've got burn in the eyes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my eyes. Dad, go away.
All I'm saying is, you know what?
Daddy.
I'm going to do what my dad did. God rest his soul. My dad, after a hard day's work, would come in and take a little shower.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to start doing that. Afternoon, you just jump in. You don't have to get your hair all. It wasn't my hair, right? I just needed to freshen up.
You know what's going to happen.
Freshen up.
No.
Huh.
Dinner's had. Mm-hmm. You've taken a shower, afternoon shower.
Right.
And your wife says, now about that landscaping, that pile of bark that has yet to spread.
Well, yeah. But you know what? That would be different, though. Because I would do that before it's time to rest and relax and
my
watch.
My kids would go, Dad, we're going to play basketball. You just showered.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. This is an ongoing saga. We're going to see if it's, you know, continues.
Can the stink go away?
Right. I felt bad for her, though.
Yeah.
Are you going to change your diet?
Yeah, probably.
That's interesting. Even my wife, who's pregnant.
Yeah.
Who
with
you would think.
Extraordinary smelling ability. Yeah.
And she hasn't told me that I stink.
You don't stink.
Oh.
Wow.
Do you think he stinks?
No,
he smells great all the time.
Yeah, I know. Wow, fresh as a lime.
The day we found out we were pregnant with our first child,
yes,
deodorant had to change. And on every pregnancy thereafter, deodorant had to change.
Really?
Immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It was within a week.
I don't think we're expecting. So I don't think it's that. I would have thought that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that. So anyways. We'll see.
Amazing.
But anyways, I know now.
So
don't overreact because it made it worse.
How did was show enjoyed?
No. Mm-mm. It was done.
All right. Yeah, you can't cover
because
up.
Because I overreacted. Yeah, then I got upset at myself.
You can't cover up a skunk.
Well, and I can't smell right now.
No.
Yeah. I think we should have prefaced this conversation with your inability to determine one's own
smell.
Smell.
Stink level.
I got allergies.
Got allergies kicking right now.
Nope.
Can't smell a thing.
Nope.
All right.
So you go through life and you try to read the reaction of others across from you. In the office, in the workplace, wherever.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm open for hints.
All right.
Anything that could help. Maybe I should rub lemon juice under the pits. I've heard about that.
Might burn a little bit, but that's all right.
Yeah, bucket of lemons in the restaurant.
Good penance. Yeah. So there's my story.
All right.
Yeah. And I laid it all out. See? Isn't that nice?
You were very vulnerable.
I am. I still am.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
For this week's Hot Topic, how bad does the economy have to get for you to try some entrepreneurial maneuver that you ordinarily would not do?
Okay.
Jody's got a funny story.
What? I got a funny story. Oh, well, you know, I'll tell you. I've had many of friends over the years.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something.
Well, you're a likable guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I try. But I've had a lot of friends over the years. And I have been approached many times
for something
in particular during this economy.
You're a sharp guy. And I think you've got a lot going for you. How about you come over with your wife over to my house, and we've got a proposition for you.
I've heard that.
What is this thing called Amway? What does it do for you?
Oh, it does for you.
Is
and for your family members.
Is that what we're talking about, Joe?
That's what I'm talking
neighbors.
About.
Now, we're not just picking on Amway.
No.
God bless them.
Yeah.
All right? But multi-level marketing that picks on everybody that's close to you, and you exploit them.
Yeah. I've been asked multiple times.
Oh, I've done.
And it's always a business opportunity.
Long-distance sales I've done.
Mm-hmm. I get that. It's like, Jody, we really want to help you out. I've got something for you. I'm thinking, great. I get suckered right in.
So allow me to tell you what the core problem with this is in my life.
Okay.
Randomly,
in
my neighborhood, trying to integrate.
Sure.
I run into a neighbor taking a walk, and I said, you know, sometime we just have to do a glass of wine or a cup of coffee. We're looking for some coffee buddies in the neighborhood.
They say that to you?
No, I say that
you
to
say
them.
That to
them.
Okay.
Yeah. Reactions are cool.
Yeah.
I think.
They think you're Amway.
They think I'm going to pitch them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's gotten to the point that you can't even just be neighborly. They think you're going to pitch them. Yeah, you, Amway.
Tell me success's name.
Go away.
Well, it was when you pulled out the tripod with the whiteboard and the marker that they kind of got a little worried.
So I ignore my neighbors now and try to play it cool, right?
Yep.
Try to play hard to get.
Sure.
And see what happens. 4 years now.
Yeah.
I know one neighbor. It's not working. It's
a backfire.
I don't know anybody.
You're in trouble.
And so I got to drive across town to visit with anybody.
Right. That don't know you from your own circle of friends and family.
Yeah. or the only thing that works is now if the kids start playing in the neighborhood, then it's okay to engage.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but do the kids take out whiteboards and
stuff? Oh, I got nailed for some Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies. Yeah, well, everybody around this area has been nailed for Girl Scout cookies.
But anyway, but back to the original point.
Yeah.
How far would you go? Mm-hmm. How hard would times have to be?
Well, I admit I've gotten suckered too, Jody. Mm-hmm. And Dan, and here's what I used to get hooked on. Nice person. Mm-hmm. Usually a friend. You got to always make time to listen, right?
Yeah.
And they always ask the same question. Can I give you a call Wednesday? I just want to run something by you.
Mm-hmm. That is the line.
Right?
Yep. Want to run something by you. Got something. I want something to really help you out with. Mm-hmm. I got a business opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're getting really crafty too.
Yeah.
So, but there were these occasions when, like for instance, we had one that had a telephone service. So it was outside the ordinary, right? Mm-hmm. It was a high tech or a communications kind of idea.
Yeah.
Sure. Everybody uses the phone. And at that time, the phones were really expensive. And at that time, it was pennies on the dollar per minute compared to
traditional.
Yeah. And I thought, this is a great idea.
Oh, yeah. I sold my niece on it.
Oh, you were in it too. Well, anyways, it sounds good. That's why.
Get right? The friends and family that are too nice to say no.
And realize all of your dreams, right?
Mm-hmm. Never come true.
Be an entrepreneur. But I'm sorry. I don't think I can do that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it really is? Whether it's economic tough times or not, you hear it all the time, and supposedly it's all about the economy. But there's a lot about personal spending habits that have to change. That I'm actually, mm-hmm. I'm in the midst of that right
sure.
now, trying to adjust my personal spending habits and trying to figure out a good budget that definitely I can stick to right mm-hmm. now. In fact, I'm trying to sell things right now, and I love the Dave Ramsey method of just, sell everything, sell so much that the kids think they're next.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, really, he says it all the time.
Oh, my plans.
But it's the reality of right now, if you're struggling financially and you have stuff, mm-hmm. sell it.
I always look at it like it's already acquired. Hang on to it.
I feel that way.
But don't sell it.
Just, well, what creates more pain, keeping the stuff or...
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, too, is that we do live in a land where opportunity flourishes. Mm-hmm. And I think if you put your head to it and you collectively over a nice tall cup of joe, think about what your talents and gifts are, mm-hmm. what you've acquired in life, in your network of professions that you've been exposed to. If one thinks long and hard, they may be able to capitalize on their strengths, and they don't have to sell out to a multi-level get-rich-quick scheme to do it and outgrow your money needs by being diligent and working hard. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work for everybody, right? But at the same time, Dan, you're really good at sales. What couldn't you sell?
Well,
other than Amway.
I refuse.
Yeah.
To sell to friends and family, including
yes.
in my professional career.
Right.
There's been times when I've just had to tread lightly mm-hmm. and be very straightforward. I had a brother that was a CFO of a company
mm-hmm.
and I had to breach the topic with them.
Yeah.
See, I'm just looking for help to get into your account.
Sure.
Who do I have to talk to? I don't want any special favors.
Right.
Whereas multi-level marketing is exactly
everybody
that.
Is your
You're
contact.
Asking for special favors. You're saying, because you know me and you see my children over here emaciated, you must buy from me. It's it's a pressure of sale that crosses the line.
And you can't check out very easy.
Yeah.
You can't
time out
on the clock.
I can sell something that the end user needs.
Correct.
May not know they need it. I need to educate them.
Right.
That's where my comfort level resides.
Sure.
Recently had to sell a car. It was banged up. I had to take pictures of the banged up parts and fully describe the vehicle and price it accordingly.
Sure.
I can lay my head on my pillow at night. I don't want to profit on others. And if I in my professional experience, if people have asked me for referrals of people that have used my services or products, I clear it with the person I'm using as a referral. May I use your name? Have you been happy with? And if they give me the okie dokie, they're on the list.
Yeah, right.
But just to generate it and presume their goodwill,
right,
I believe crosses the line.
Yeah. It's got to be a bummer when there isn't a distinct work day and that anybody you meet is a prospect. Now, some people would disagree with that.
That's the frustrating thing. I guess I'm kind of opposite of sales. I've never liked being in a sales position. I just have never enjoyed it. I can't stand it. It goes against my grain. I can do it, but it's not my favorite thing to do. But it's exactly that mentality that drives me crazy about the idea of sales, that everybody you meet is a prospect. So everything you do, everything you say, every action you make is related to, I got to get the sale.
Yeah.
Can't we just be real people, real friends,
or
say what you're really thinking? You know, that's what I like, real.
Right.
I don't.
Well, I think that's my point. I believe you can blend that.
Yeah.
Now,
just put it in regular business days.
That's well,
know when to turn it off and when to turn it on.
Yeah. I mean, it's challenging in our industry because we sell 24/7.
Right.
And we got clients on the West Coast.
I appreciate you not sleeping.
Yeah. So 3 in the morning, phone goes up, baby. I'm on.
You're up.
Game on.
Yep.
All right. Or I transfer it to Jody.
Yeah. I keep wondering when my phone keeps ringing in the middle of the night. I don't know.
Now, keep calling. You know, if there was an opportunity, though, to network with friends and family that I know want good food, and I become a part of a buyer's plan, I'm sorry. I probably could push that. But I'd leave you alone when we're hanging out. You know, it all depends on what it is. If it's something that I think is going to benefit, then I'll tell people about it. But I guess the moral of the story for me is I wouldn't feel good about giving in to something that is probably going to compromise the trust factor between friends and family, make them feel like a product or a prospect.
Yeah. Right. Based on relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing that killed me the last time.
Yeah.
The last time I had one of those presentations, was exactly that.
Yep.
It was, wow, we haven't met in so long. Wow, it's been 15 years.
You're a great guy, Jody.
Hey, come on over for supper. We've got to get together for a meal.
Yeah.
It wasn't getting together for a meal. It was getting together to be presented in business opportunity.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. That frustrated me.
That would ruin my entire night.
Yep. You feel exploited. So maybe you guys feel exploited out there. What would you not be willing to do? I guess how far would you go if you had to make money?
Dig ditches, but don't make me do that.
Yeah.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
This is an incredible story. This woman, 5 years ago, is shot with a shotgun, with birdshot, in the face. Virtually from her eyebrows, it describes in this USA Today, Associated Press. From her eyebrows to the bottom of her chin was gone.
Wow.
Okay. Now, we've got a picture that we're going to be putting on this on www.irescueradio.com. So if you want to see what the before and after pictures look like, now the before pictures are not of the actual trauma. It's actually after they did reconstruction surgery the first umpteen times.
Yeah, 30 times.
30 times. And they did the best they could. And she was still completely disfigured, but she was better than she was before. Now, She is the fifth recipient, I believe, of a successful, non-rejected facial transplant.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. Let me tell you a little bit about this. This woman, Connie Culp, and now this is how it starts. She said she heard a little kid call her a monster because of the shotgun blast that left her face horribly disfigured. She pulled out her driver's license to show the child what she used to look like. Years later, as the nation's first face transplant recipient, she stepped forward to show the rest of the world what she looks like now. Hmm. Now, they say even after this transplant, her expressions are still a little bit wooden. They called it a bit wooden. Mm-hmm. She can talk, she can smile, smell, and taste her food again. Her speech is at times a little tough to understand. Her face is bloated and squarish. Her skin droops in a big folds that doctors plan to pare away as her circulation improves and her nerves grow, animating her new muscles. But Culp had nothing but praise for those who made her new face possible. She says, quote, "I guess I'm the one you came to see today," the 46-year-old Ohio woman said at a news conference at the Cleveland Clinic, where the groundbreaking operation was performed. "But I think it's more important that you focus on the donor family that made it so I could have this person's face." Hmm. Now, until Tuesday, Culp's identity and how she came to be disfigured were a secret. It turns out her husband shot her in 2004 and then turned the gun on himself. Now, crazy enough, they both survived, which is amazing in and of itself.
Yeah.
But weirdly, it says here, he only went to prison for 7 years, and there's no more in this article that explains anything else.
It's not manslaughter.
She didn't die.
She didn't die.
She didn't die, yeah.
So just assault with a deadly weapon?
That's what it is, yeah.
Seven years?
It seemed amazing. Unbelievably lenient.
I don't know.
And I'm looking at the picture here of the lady.
Yeah.
Before, she had absolutely...
No nose. No. No face in the mid area.
Yeah,
no
cheeks.
No cheeks. No nose. She had no upper lip.
No.
Just her lips were completely. Her mouth was just completely
gone.
And the afterwards picture. Yeah, her face isn't obviously. I mean, there's. It's not
some still some
perfect. There's still some
disfigurement.
Sure.
But nothing.
It is 90% better.
It's amazing though. She's wearing glasses.
I know.
And she can see and she can smell and she can.
So she. Taste, so her eyes must amazing. Not have been damaged.
Clearly, if they were, they were damaged slightly, and that's why she has to have glasses now.
That's
but
amazing.
Check this out. The blast shattered her nose, cheeks, the roof of her mouth, and an eye. Oh, here we go. An eye.
An eye, yeah. Damage then, okay.
So she's maybe only has one eye, and the other one is a prosthetic. Yeah. Hundreds of fragments of shotgun pellet and bone splinters were embedded in her face. She needed a tube into her windpipe to breathe, and only her upper eyelids, forehead, lower lip, and chin were left. Hmm. A plastic surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Rizal, I'm going to slaughter this, D-J-O-H-A-N, got a look at her injuries 2 months later. Hmm. He told me he wasn't sure if he could fix me, but he'd try, Culp recalled.
Amazing.
She endured 30 operations to try to fix her face. Doctors took parts of her ribs, cheekbones, and upper jaw and fashioned an upper jaw from one of her leg bones. She had countless skin grafts from her thighs, and still she was left unable to eat solid food, breathe on her own, or smell.
Amazing.
Then on December 10th, in a 22-hour operation, Dr. Maria Simonow led a team of doctors who replaced 80% of Culp's face with bone, muscles, nerves, skin, blood vessels from another woman who had just died. Yeah. It was the fourth transplant in the world.
Yeah. It's just amazing. You look at the picture before she was shot. She's just an average, looks like just an average, normal person. Just an average, normal person.
Sure.
You look at her picture after being shot, she has a trach, she has no nose, no face, like you said, terribly disfigured. And then you look after the face transplant, hey, it's just amazing what they're able to do with the operation. It's just amazing.
Now, it must be something unique at Cleveland Clinic, because this is where that woman who was attacked by the chimpanzee was airlifted to.
Yes, and they made comment in the same story, which we'll link to on the iRescueRadio.com website, but she was horribly disfigured as well. She's now blind. She lost both of her eyes, her lips. What else? Fingertips?
Ears?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to work with her as well. Yeah. So we got to keep her in our prayers too, yeah. The poor thing.
As I say, Cleveland Clinic tends to be the place where they have like the heart transplants. They do the hand center. They're set up for this. It's a major center.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Yep. Now, what's really great about this is Culp now says she wants to help foster acceptance of those who have suffered burns and other disfiguring injuries. When somebody, quote, has a disfigurement and don't look as pretty as you do, don't judge them, because you never know what happened to them, she said.
Yep.
Don't judge people who don't look the same as you do, because you never know. One day, it might be all taken away.
There you go.
Yep. It's quite amazing.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
Very much so.
From the physicians and their God-given talents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
22 hours of surgery.
Yeah.
Amazing. An entire team. What...
You know, I got to include
when I have an 11-hour day behind a computer.
I know.
What am I talking about?
I know. Well, you think about all those hours of surgery she's been through and all of the disfigurement, the fact that her husband shot her. I mean, this woman has been really through it, hasn't she?
Yeah. Something else.
And survived to realize it, okay?
Yeah.
And then she's out shopping. And this was really something. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, our listeners, we need to hear this because it's important how we raise our children. Mm-hmm. But... she was out shopping and she heard a little child say, "You said there were no real monsters, Mommy, and there's one right there," pointing to this poor lady with this disfigurement. And Culp stopped and said, "I'm not a monster. I'm a person who was shot," and pulled out her driver's license to show the child what she used to look like. Mm-hmm. What control. What maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if that's not the most grace-filled response.
Yeah.
Merciful.
Yeah.
I don't know what is.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story. And we hope that everything just continues to keep going better down the road for her and for everyone who has these terrible disfiguring.
Well, yeah, I had a cousin who was burned in a gas fire with a lawnmower as a kid, and the numerous skin grafts he had. I'm sure you guys have had, patients or whatever.
We've worked with patients like that.
The pain and the recovery time.
Oh.
A common cold is the worst I face. Mm-hmm. I mean, please. What these people have gone through is amazing. So,
interesting story.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
And this week's stumper, Jody, take it away.
Oh, I've got a good one for you.
Okay.
Here we are.
I'm ready.
You're camping out.
Oh, boy.
No, I did not say the Holiday Inn. I mean,
my family and I like to camp where there's air conditioning.
My kind of camping.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You're camping out, and you decide to take the kids out on a nature hike.
Sure.
Okay. Things are going great. You're showing them all the cool stuff. You're right next to a
mountain
lake.
Lion.
No. And all of a sudden, one of your children says, "Ow! What in the world?" You look around.
Yeah.
You see a snake slithering off, gone. The snake's gone, so you don't know what kind of snake it was.
Oh, boy.
You don't know where the snake was. Your daughter says, "I don't know. It was brown." That's all she knows.
Hmm. Are we in Michigan?
We are in Michigan.
Oh, good.
And it was brown. You're by a lake. What would you do?
Well, Dan?
I wouldn't go on the walk to begin with.
There comes the Holiday Inn part again.
Dan's walk goes from the tent to the dock.
To the boat. To the buffet table.
So, and then from boat back to the dock, back to the tent, back to the car.
Sounds fun. I'm totally staying out of this.
So are you concerned? That's my question. Are you concerned
in about Michigan, this? We used to have something that was referred to lovingly as the Pine Rattler, which I don't know.
Or the Michigan Rattler.
Mm-hmm. I've yet to see one. Upstate or lower southwest Michigan?
We'll say you're in the Upper Peninsula just for kicks.
Okay.
You're by the lake. Brown snake.
You know.
Colored snake, I should say.
A colored snake?
Brown colored snake. That's what I should say, not brown snake.
Oh, because that's poisonous.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
It's a brown-colored snake.
Okay, we've got some snakes that look worse than they are.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're not able to kill the snake and take it with you, you would make notes as to what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my next point would be if I don't have, I don't think we have poisonous snakes really here in Michigan.
Not really. Unless you're Upper Peninsula, you could.
Yeah, but if it punctures the skin.
Well, you've got a wound that needs to be managed. Yeah, so, I mean, first aid, you could just clean it. Mm-hmm. Clean it well with a disinfecting antimicrobial. You could treat it for topical issues of swelling with maybe a hydrocortisone. But more importantly, probably a triple antibiotic on the puncture sites because of bacteria, and then cover loosely or even leave it open while you're hiking back. However, if there was a risk that it could have been a poisonous snake, I would try to identify the snake, write it on a note or keep an image in my mind. Try not, if I could carry the child and keep them from moving any more than they have to, I would carry them back to a place where they could be picked up by an ambulance.
I was just going
to
say, I'd grab the kid and run.
Now, there are also some first aid things, though, and hopefully we had our first aid hiking pack.
There you go.
Which has a poisonous snake kit in it.
Right.
Many times those come with a bulb syringe for sucking out any topical poison in the interstitial
just space. On that little thing right there.
Yeah.
Just be careful. We are not saying do the John Wayne, slice it with a knife, put your mouth on and suck it out.
No. As fun as that sounds.
That's in every Western you've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely.
Bloodborne pathogens are not something.
Well, it's my child.
It's your child also, but still, it's like one of the things we don't do anyhow.
That's right. No, that's contraindicated or not advised. But they do have these little suction cup things that help to pull the poison and slow down the process of absorption, or even in some cases draw some of it out. Yeah. The other point is to immobilize the person as best as possible so as to not circulate the poison around any more quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Watch airway breathing circulation, shock management, and get them to the emergency room ASAP and try to identify the location that it was bit in so that they can call DNR and find out if there was any poisonous snake sightings or any what you would call, what would you call that? Native snakes in that area. Yep. And then we could maybe take anti-venom precautions.
Here's one of the reasons why I brought that one up is you're hearing more and more in the news, people releasing their pets.
Yeah.
And the issue of poisonous snakes, the potential that a poisonous snake could exist. Now, unfortunately, in Michigan, we're in a pretty good shape to not have poisonous snakes because poisonous snakes like heat.
Yeah.
Typically, I mean, the severely poisonous ones. So in Michigan,
Michigan lacks heat.
Yeah, it does, especially in the UP.
Yeah, they don't live long once they've been released. However, there's always a potential of a snake being released. Exactly. So you don't know if it's poisonous or not if you don't see the snake.
Right.
Cool thing is if you are a, besides Holiday Inn camper like myself and actually know what snakes are supposed to look like, the nice thing is if you can actually tell what kind of snake it is, hey, you're in good shape.
I mean, this seems really like a remote topic, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Recently took a flight to Florida.
Yeah.
State park.
Yeah.
Walkway.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt walkway.
Snake?
No, but it could be alligators. Sure. we're going to a park. There. There's brush on all sides. I'm not from that area.
No, I
don't know. Yeah. And the last thing I packed on the plane was a snake suck out the venom kit.
You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And as silly as it may look to pack a first aid kit, you can head on out to your wilderness sports places, hunters, enthusiasts places. And I would say it wouldn't be a bad idea to have one of those in your pack.
But I think 99 times out of 100, people don't have them.
No, that's probably true. No. So,
like what Roy said, though, the way to treat it if you're out in the field and you don't have anything with you, keep it below the level of the heart so that the circulation stays below the level of the heart. And the idea of keeping it immobilized, not moving around to spread the venom any further. And it's not currently the standards are not recommended to put ice on a snake bite.
Nope.
So that's about it.
But well, there you go.
Hair blower.
Why?
A what?
Heat it up.
Why?
So opposite of freeze?
No.
No.
That'll spread it worse.
And I don't even know if we do that, but no.
I like the John
Hair dryer? No.
No.
Why has he got second degree burns?
Mensuckvenom.com.
I thought I could cauterize it before it poisoned, so saw it on a movie once.
Get out your lighter. Heat up your fork. Well,
good story. Good story, Jode. Very nice.
I tried.
Yeah. All right. There you go. You're more educated. Now, Now, this week's poll question, is swine flu affecting your travel plans? And the poll, 50% said, no, travel where I want, when I want, stinker. 50% said, yes.
Acapulco, here I come.
No, 50% said, yes, I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Lock me down and put a mask on me.
Yeah. Not leaving the house.
No.
Closing down school.
Right. Mm-hmm. Happened here.
Well, we won't get into that again.
I don't start that again. So there you go. This week's poll question. How far are you willing to go in a bad economy to make money? Would you? Yes. I would become part of a multi-level marketing scheme. Or, that's not fair, is it?
No.
Scheme.
Okay. Yes, I would consider working in a place I normally wouldn't. Or no, I just can't betray my convictions.
Yeah, you know, in that poll, when we say a place you wouldn't.
We mean like for Dan, he would never do multi-level.
Yeah, and I probably.
I might think about it.
You know, when I work
at. Hey, Dan, you got some time this afternoon? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, guys.
Sure you wanted to buy me lunch.
I wanted to talk to you guys. I got a business opportunity for
you.
Yeah,
I know.
I find I spend more on the lunches than I actually make when I do these multi-level marketing.
Yeah, I know. I know. When they rub their back pocket and they go, oh, I forgot my wallet.
$2 an hour?
Yeah. Anyway.
It, not going against your moral convictions.
Not, no. And we're not even talking about that.
No. We're talking about just something different.
I think you could become very creative morally.
Yeah.
And make money.
Yeah.
But there you go. Well, that was fun.
I enjoyed it.
For me.
All right.
Not crazy about the snakes. But.
No. I'm not going to be walking down south anytime soon. I think there's water moccasins.
I can tell you it was not a comfortable walk. But I tried to man up and not show my wife that I was uncomfortable. We were there trying to have a good time. She wanted to do it. It's the last place. I had visions of Yellowstone.
I know.
On my mind.
Yeah.
With the buffalo attack.
Yep.
Well, Dan, I'm so glad you did not woman down.
Jody, there goes ratings.
Well, you man,
all three of you are gonna quit listening.
Yep, all three. So from the studios of iRescue Radio, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan on the sidewalk.
Bye bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll free at 866-661-5701. Or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.